Tim is preaching this morning at Boxley.
Wes is preaching at Bellefonte. So you pray for those guys as they lead those congregations in the Word. Take your Bibles and turn to a couple of passages. The first one in Proverbs. Roger's got this all messed up here. Can't even. Oh, don't blame somebody. Proverbs 22:6, and then turn to Ephesians 6:1-4. So mark Ephesians 6 there with your finger, and then turn back to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Let's stand together as we give honor to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And what a privilege it is for you to be able to have God's word in your hand. You know, there's lots of places all over the world that would be great. They would love to be able to have a copy of God's word. And we have, a lot of us have several copies at home, laying everywhere. I've picked one up that fell in the floor this morning and laid it back up on the pew. We've just got them everywhere. A lot of people love to have a copy of God's Word, and you're honored and privileged to be able to have that. I want to preach on child rearing this morning, and you'd say, well, I've done got mine raised. Really? I didn't know you could do that. If you're a grandparent, great-grandparent, I think that all this applies to you as well as for the parents that are here today that are in the throes of raising their kids right now, especially teenagers. I tell you, we need to pray for them and folks that have little ones at the house. This is the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now watch this. Now you can fast forward that just a little bit to the recent news. And you'll be seeing children setting fire to police cars and beating up policemen and burning police stations, burning businesses, and defying authority, one right after the other. And if you would be able to interview those in some kind of sensible way that are doing all that, if you'd follow them back to their early childhood, they would be these people right here. The Bible says that a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. And that is exactly what has taken place. We've come to a place in our society that society does not want us to correct our children, doesn't want us to spank them. And the Bible says very clearly that if you spare the rod, you will spoil your child. And I don't believe that the rod all the time has to be a physical rod, a stick, a paddle. But I think that when the Bible was talking about a rod, that's what it was talking about. It was talking about a spanking. And I'm an advocate for that. And I believe that parents make a tragic mistake if they make a decision not to spank their children when they are young. Matter of fact, I believe the same thing that Lester Roloff preached when he was alive, that if you don't spank them while you can, it'll come a time that they'll whip you. And it doesn't mean beat them up. It means to give them a sound spanking that they're able to place doing wrong with pain. And if you want to raise a hoodlum, you raise a child without any discipline, without telling that child the difference between right and wrong and enforcing that in your home. Now, I know that I'm going to be disagreed with on the internet and folks that are watching our program on their computers and at home, and several of them perhaps will disagree. There'll certainly be people outside of our church that would disagree with what I'm getting ready to teach this morning, but it doesn't really matter, because the Bible is what the truth is, and we're going to stand on the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches. And I hope that I can present this in such a way that you would be able to grab hold of what the Word of God actually says here. And so let's dive in. I've collected material from a lot of different sources. So I'm going to do what one preacher said, that the first time you quote someone else, you give them credit for that, and then as you go on and if you use them again for a source, you'll just say that someone said it, and then about the third time you use it, you just use it without giving any credit, make folks think that you were the one that said it. But this material, what I'm getting ready to read you right now, comes from Ray Steadman's material on child rearing. And it says that whatever child should know is Proverbs 1 through 9, talking about all nine of those chapters in the Ray Steadman ministry. This is a written statement by the Minnesota Crime Commission. And I don't have a date on this. I know it was somewhat in the past. It could have been several years in the past, but it's been in the past. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He or she is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants, and he is seized with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He is dirty. He has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. Is it important that we discipline? It is important that we discipline. It is important that we center our attention on being parents and grandparents. Now, a couple of weeks ago when I preached on the marriage relationship, I told you that the most important relationship in your life, first of all, is with God. Your relationship with God. It's more important than anything else. Whether or not you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that He's entered your life, you've been born again, and He has changed your direction in life from heaven to hell. And by the way, If he is not, if you've not been born again, if he's not living in your life, that direction has not been changed. You're on your way to hell if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior. But if you do, you're on your way to heaven. That's just what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus came and died on the cross to ensure our eternity in heaven. I've had a little song that's been going through my mind all week that Jesus has prepared a place for me in heaven. Now I can't get it to come to me, and I've hummed it all week. Number one, as parents and grandparents, and I'm speaking from a perspective of grandparent mostly. We've got a little different situation because we have two little ones in our home right now that we're responsible for rearing, and we're hopefully making a difference in their life. We're doing our very best to make a difference in their life, and we've got lots of help. I really do appreciate those of you that have helped us out in this area. Number one, know your child. Every child is different. So the only way that you and I can know our children or our grandchildren is to spend time with them. Listen to his or her words, their likes, their dislikes. I'm ever amazed at some of the things that come out of Noah's mouth. Sometimes I'm amazed in the wrong kind of way, but he ever amazes me. And Gwen and I were discussing what I was going to preach on this morning, and I said I feel totally unqualified. You know, I didn't feel so unqualified until we got these two little ones in our house. Because I've preached on child rearing for 50 years, but in the last few months, as I look over my notes and just pray about what God would have me to present, I just feel disqualified from standing up here. And by the way, if there's anybody that feels like there's any more qualified, I'll just turn it over to you right now. Any volunteers? Oh. Spend time with them. This morning at the breakfast table, Noah understood that we were going to have a baptism today, and it is amazing what little ones pick up, what they understand, spiritually what they understand. And he said, it's a command to be baptized, am I right? And that's how he qualifies everything, am I right? It's a command to be baptized, am I right? I said, it is a command to be baptized. It does not save your soul. You ask Jesus into your heart as personal Savior, you're saved. The thief on the cross was saved when he asked Jesus to remember him in paradise. He said, today you're going to be with me. But it is a command. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so he didn't say, if it's handy, do it. If everybody agrees with it, do it. He just said, do it. And so that's what the church is to be about, is to win people to Jesus. And when we win them to Jesus, that next step in their life is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. We're going to have a baptism here at the end of this service. But I'm just always amazed as I listen to young people talk, my own grandchildren, and now we're in the stage of great grandchildren, but to hear the things that come out of their mouth. But the only way that I'm going to get to know them is to be able to spend time with them. You know what the most valuable thing that you have in possession is? the most valuable thing that you have right now. It's not your bank account. Doesn't matter how big it is. It's not the toys or things that you can stack around you. The most valuable thing that you possess right now in your life is your time. And I hope that you and I do not waste our time on ourselves rather than spending it with our kids and our grandkids. I think that we would come to the end of their life and to our life with great regret if we do not invest our lives into their lives. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you lose your life if you invest it in yourself. But if you invest it into others, you gain it. You win it. You win life if you invest into others. If you invest into a kid's life, it doesn't matter if it's your own kid or somebody else's kid, but you win when you invest in their lives. And especially you win when you invest in the life of your own children. I don't necessarily think that I ought to be one that should be quoted, but I'm ever amazed that my kids are quoting me from their raising. One of the things that we were visiting a church, I think I'd preached there. Our daughter, our middle daughter Suzanne, had taught a women's Bible class there. And this one lady came up to me and introduced herself to me, and she said, "You know, I feel like that I know you already because Suzanne quotes what you said so many times." And I wanted to say, "What did she say?" But I'm telling you, you need to spend time with them. They're going to hear what you say. They're going to see your actions. They're going to be trained from the things that you do more than the things that you say. I'm glad that I'm just glad that we're past that point. I don't want to teach anybody else to drive, and I'm so glad that we've come to that point. We've had the discussion several times about adopting Arabella and what that would mean. I told someone, I said, "Well, if we get to adopt her, it'll mean that we'll have somebody to drive us around when we're old." I dread that part where we've been involved in teaching some kids to drive. But I remember when Suzanne was learning to drive, when she just got her permit. And we were in Little Rock, and I'll make it short. My sister-in-law lost our car keys, so I had to call Gwen to come to Little Rock and bring me a set of keys. And she came, drove the pickup, and we got the car. And Suzanne said, "I'm going with Dad, and I'm going to drive." And I was scared in Little Rock. I'll tell you. They always scared me real bad, but I don't do what Gwen does. She covers her eyes whenever something's getting ready to happen. At least I keep my eyes open and scream. We were leaving Little Rock, and we were on the interstate. She hadn't driven on the interstate much, and she was rolling, and I'd tell her slow down just a little bit. You're going way too fast. And she was passing cars, and when she'd pass a car, she'd just whip over right in front of them. And I said, you're going to run somebody off the road after a while. And before we got out of Little Rock, we were into it. I mean, we were fussing. And I was giving instructions, and if you've been around me, the more excited I get, the louder I get. And so I was talking pretty loud, I suppose, before we got home. It's a 2-hour ride back to the house. And when we got to the house, she pulled up in the driveway. She got out of the truck. She never said a word. She slammed the door. And I was coming around the front of the truck, and I said, "Are you mad?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Me too." We got over it. But you know, I look back on that as a good time. That was a good time. We got to know one another. You know, we were, even though it was hard on both of us, we were together. We were spending time together. And she may not look back on that as appreciation or not, but I know when she left our house last night, she came to me and we hugged real big and I kissed her. She said, I love you, Dad. I love you too, sissy. I tell you, I wouldn't give anything for that. I wouldn't take anything for that, I mean. And it's time that you spend together. And I remember Lana. I'll quit telling these tales here after fall. But when Lana was trying to learn to drive, she went into, you know, she said, "I don't even want to learn to drive." and I thought that's funny. She was trying to get took off in a standard shift. Some will need more spankings. And some will require talk. If I have my life to live over, if I could raise my kids again, I would raise them under this principle. Even I spanked, but I would I'd do more talking than I would spanking if I had it to do over. And my kids would probably say, "Boy, we wish he had that to do over." But I would spend more time talking, less time spanking. One thing that I would do is that when the offense was committed, I would find a Bible verse that fit the offense. And we would talk about what the Bible says about the offense that had taken place. Whether it was disobedience or dishonor or whatever it might be, that we would find a Bible verse that fit that. And that would make both of us stronger in the Scripture if we would do that. Bruce Ray explains in his book, Withhold Not Correction, discipline is more than simply punishment. Biblical discipline is correction. And that means that the pattern of the child's behavior must be changed by instruction in righteousness. He must be shown the error of his way and then directed to the proper path. This requires explanation and instruction. Biblical discipline demands words. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Turn back a few pages if you're there in Proverbs. Proverbs 13 and look at verse 24. Now, I'm going to have to ask you, as I ask myself, do we believe that the Bible, that the Word of God, is inerrant? That means that it doesn't have any mistakes in it. Do we believe that the Bible is the truth? Do we believe that God knows all? And that he has given this book of instruction for us to prosper our lives in many cases. Do we believe that? So we have to believe the Bible in order for this instruction to mean anything to us. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. And I think that here again, the rod could be a belt or a paddle, or it could be go to your room or sit in a corner, or no more video games or no more TV, or you're going to stay at home for a week. You're not going to have a telephone. You're going to have to pay for this out of your allowance, out of your own money. It could be a lot of things rather than a physical rod. But I think that there are some things, and we're going to talk about that tonight, there are some things that demand a physical rod. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Did you hear what he said? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. The person who does not, the mother, the father, the grandparent, that does not give punishment or instruction that will change the child, it's not that you love them so much that you can't spank them. It's that you love yourself so much that you cannot punish the child. If we could show you get this picture in your mind. Most of you have watched quite a bit of news in the last 3 or 4 weeks and watched all that rioting and all that craziness that's going on all across our nation. You get that picture in your mind, and you tell me if you think that any of those folks had any kind of Christian instruction when they were growing up. That they had a mother and a father that loved them and that tried to teach them what was right and discipline them when they did that which was wrong. And I'd bet money that they didn't have. At least not the right kind when they were growing up. I believe you can go overboard, and I think it's wrong to go overboard. I don't think the Bible's talking about some kind of beating. I think it's talking about discipline. I think it's talking about discipline. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. I always get a little chuckle every time I read this, and I want to say chastens his behind, but it's chastens him betimes. You know what that word means? It doesn't mean behind. It means early. It means early. Do it quick. Do it early. Start early. Start early. No matter what it is. If you say that one more time, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to give you a three count. If you're still doing that, I'm going to cut your head off and spit down your empty throat. That is not discipline. That's rage most of the time. And we allow a child to get by with something over and over, and then finally when we come to a place to discipline, we're disciplined. That child in the wrong kind of way. We're disciplining him or her because we're mad. Not because we want what is best for the child, because they've done something against us, we feel. And so we're disciplining in that kind of reaction rather than doing it the way that it should be done. Now I'm going to take up here tonight where we're living. I hope you'll come back tonight. I think this is so important. What we need, and whether I'm qualified to do it or not, I'm going to be doing it. And I think it's good for me. Actually, I wish that I had preached this a year ago. I think it's good for me, and it's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for you that haven't got grandkids yet, and your kids are grown. It's going to be good for you that are in the process of raising your kids right now. It's going to be that God will be able to use in your life. If I had it to do over, now I don't think that we let the TV raise our kids. I sure wouldn't let the TV do it. I wouldn't let school do it. I'd be doing it myself because it's my responsibility. And we took on that responsibility when we were raising our kids, and I made lots and lots of mistakes. But one thing that they knew, and I think they still know, that their daddy would give his life for them in a split second. And if your kids don't know that, you need to make sure they know that. And by the way, you husbands, your wife needs to know that you give your life for her in a split second. That'll change your marriage. That's the way it should be. That's what the Bible teaches. Did you know Jesus died for us? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I tell you, this is such important stuff. I listened to some tapes that Rex Dismain had done when he was a younger pastor before he came here. Rex has passed away now, and his wife Marge is going to be listening to this series. And she's living in California now. But one of the things that impressed me so much when I was listening to some of those tapes where Rex had preached was that when he got up to preach, he said, "I'm getting ready to tell you the most important thing I've ever told you." That impressed me so much, I thought, as I prepared for this morning, I thought, "I'm getting ready to tell these folks the most important thing I've ever told them." And I believe that is true. We're going to have a baptism service now. And I'm going to ask Weston's family, they're over in the gym, I'm going to ask them to come on in and get ready for baptism, and they'll make their way back to the dressing room. Mike's going to come right now and lead us in music. And I want to, as they're preparing for baptism, as his family is preparing for baptism, I want to give you an invitation for you. And if you're watching from your home, or if you're listening out in the parking lot or some other place, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Him personally? Did you know that Jesus tells us that we're to profess Him before men? We're to confess Him before men. And so, what in my mind, that would be, you can be saved right where you're at. But if you confess Jesus before men, you need to get up from where you're at and come forward in this church service and say, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, and now I want to follow Him in believer's baptism. That's your next step. And I'd say that without apologizing to anyone. I believe that's the truth of the Scripture. So we're going to stand together. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision for Christ right now. Is there anyone that needs to come forward in this service right now as we sing to become a part of the church, to follow the Lord in baptism, or to be saved? As we sing, you come.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross.
Thank you, Mike. You can be seated.